We've asked you to pray. Let me give you a little report on a few people. Pastor Gosman continues to make some progress. I saw him on Friday morning first thing, and one of the prayer requests for him would be that, because he's able to flex his bicep, and he moved a hand, and he's doing some twitching, and all, so he's beginning to what they call wake up from the GBS, Guillain-Barre syndrome, but that can be very painful from what I hear, just excruciating in pain. And so they have him on a very strong painkiller that knocks him out at times, and so they're it's a question about how much to have him, how much to cut back on that. But one of the prayer requests is that he would be able to blink his eyes. He has to wear goggles and have ointment in his eyes to keep things lubricated. He cannot blink his eyes on his own, and they said it would be really nice if he could have his hearing aids back in, have his glasses, and be able to blink his eyes. So continue to pray for him. Also pray for Ted Allspa. His right leg is just enormous and bright, angry red with this cellulitis. They did a biopsy this week. They were afraid earlier in the week that it may have been something that actually spread to the bone. And then with the CAT scan, they ruled that out. They're still working with his medication level. He seems to be in good spirits, but I've gotten a few texts from him this week that just said, in excruciating pain. And so be in prayer for him. All right, just a few minutes. Let's at least begin Psalm 39. Make a few notes on that. Won't keep you long. I want to tell you that I don't understand. I don't understand why people want to ride skateboards. I don't understand why they ride skateboards on handrails. I really don't understand why you give somebody a camera and say, film me while I wipe out and then put it on the internet. I am not a thrill-seeking daredevil. I am more Davidic in my thinking. And verse 4, he says, let me know how fleeting I am. And I don't want to tempt that. That's why I don't do skateboarding at this point. I want you to finish this sentence. Life's too short. Don't say it out loud. Life's too short to... All right. Let me see. Dan is saying to ride a skateboard. Josh is saying to eat Brussels sprouts ever again. Okay. Life is too short. And there are certain things that we say, you know, it's just not worth it. In fact, in verse 5 where he says, my life is like a handbreadth. Everybody raise up four fingers on the same hand. That was the smallest Hebrew measurement. So about 3 to 3.5 inches is what they figured. So he's saying the smallest measurement that we make in Hebrew here is about what my life seems like. David has a problem. I don't know what this problem is. He doesn't tell us. You know what he does? So he picks up the pen and he writes and he tells us how he what he's going through. I don't know the background. I don't need to know exactly what he was going through. I just glory in the content of his praising God through it all. There's one verse especially I want us to see, but we may not even get to that today. All right, let me change the sentence from life's too short to life's so short, so finish that sentence. In the biblical wisdom literature of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and Psalms and Job would say something like this, so live wisely for God. You don't know how long you have, so live wisely for God. I think it's safe to say I have been to more funerals than most of you, but it's possible that some of you, you've lived longer, maybe you've gone to more funerals. I will tell you, I've been, I think, to more hospitals and nursing homes than any of you. That's just a possibility too. Life is short. David once said, "There is but a step between me and death." That's how he felt. And the writer of Ecclesiastes says in 9:5, "For the living know that they will die." He goes on to say that the dead don't have that knowledge, but the living know that they will die. Hopefully, you and I can say, come to a point where we say with the Apostle Paul, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ." You know the next line? "Which is far better. For it is far better." There are a lot of people that you know and bump into all the time who, let's just be honest, they have no hope. They've gotten where they're hopeless. And we are to have hope and share that hope. Hopefully we can say, and here's what I think is central to the whole psalm, verse 7, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." I'm going to look just at this first point this afternoon, which I'm going to call a growing frustration, okay, in verses 1 through 3. I said, "I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with like a muzzle." He purposed to not be out of line with his speech. He says, "I don't want to tarnish my testimony with," so I'm being very measured and being very careful in that. And so in those first two verses, in this growing frustration that David has, whatever the condition was, there's this restraint that is exercised. He says, "I'm going to be careful what I say." Would that all of us could say that. "I'm going through a hard time right now. I'm going to be careful what I say. I give God the glory. I give God thanks, but I'm also very careful." Sometimes our first response to pain or loss is what I might call a self-imposed silence. Don't ask, don't tell. You don't ask, and I won't tell you what I'm going through right now. And you would say, isn't that biblical? James 3, that section 5 through 10, where he says that we are to bridle our tongue. And you might even say, who would want to hear my complaint anyway? Good point. The Lord does. Who would show me the compassion that I really need right now? Good point. The Lord will. Take your problems to the Lord and leave them there. Arthur Pink wrote about this verse. He says, "This was not a silence of sullenness, but the meek acquiescence before the rod." He says, God is doing, David feels like the severity, the stroke, isn't that what he says down in verse 10? "Remove your stroke for me, a crushing severity." It can be heavy at times. And he says in verse 2, "I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail." And then here's the failure expressed. He says, "And my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me." He says, "My frustration grew. My anxiety intensified. As I mused, the fire burned. It's like an impatience took over in me." And he said, "Then I spoke with my tongue." A failure expressed. The preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 2:20, said, "I turned about and gave my heart up to despair." He says, there was nothing better. Finally, the dam broke. And when you're on your bed in the middle of the night and you're thinking on some loss, some problem, some death, and you get overwhelmed and it comes out in a flood of tears, you know what? Actually, that breaking of that silence is very wise. I remember years ago, my father, who had seen some unspeakable things as a forward observer for the Marines in Korea. When he got out, actually had to be in a Marine mental facility for a short time and was released from that, and did not tell my mother or anybody anything that he went through for the longest time. He bottled it up. You know when it came out? At my sister's 13th birthday party. We were at a really nice restaurant in Los Angeles, and it came out in a flood. And I remember my sister saying, "Dad, I'm so glad, but really on my birthday?" Yeah. There are times where you hold something in for a long time, and then it comes out in a flood. And David says, my musings, my thoughts, I tried to bottle all this up, and I failed. And he says, like Job and David, he says, I spoke with my tongue. I sobbed out my complaint before God Almighty. Not to be disrespectful or blasphemous, but Job and David at sometimes almost come to the point where they say, God, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? What's the answer to that? Well, first of all, there is no one God's size. And second of all, he's not picking on us. He's actually growing us through circumstances that you might be going through. A growing frustration. Well, I'm going to leave it to you to read the rest of the psalm and meditate on these things. Would you? We cover just the first three verses, and I'll give you what is the next point, and then you'll study it over the next few weeks. And I don't know when I get a chance to preach again. We have. I didn't expect that I would be preaching tonight, and I am. I didn't expect that I would be preaching next Sunday morning, and I get to. After that, we have a speaker Sunday afternoon, and then the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. And so sometime in October, whenever it is that I get to talk to you again, unless the Lord comes back, I will finish this message. And if the Lord comes back, we'll have a meeting in heaven, and I'll finish the message, because it has to be done. But let's think about a desperate prayer. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. What a strange request. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Havel, the nothingness, the emptiness that he speaks of in Ecclesiastes. Surely a man goes as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know our growing frustration and you hear our desperate prayer. There are times when we sob out in openness before you how we feel, because no one else would understand. Who can hear and understand but Jesus? He's a friend so kind and true. Lord, we thank you that you always hear us. You meet with us. We have appointments with you sometimes in the middle of the night. And you understand perfectly. Even when we ask that you would remove the severity of the blow, the weight of the stroke against us, and the answer's not yet. But Lord, you have not abandoned us. And so our prayer is in verse 7, my hope is in you. For what do I wait? My hope is in you. Lord, anchor us and the hope that we have in the person of Christ, in the finished work of Christ, in the soon return of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.